we dive into this episode, I just want to tell you about my latest book called Health Anxiety is Ruining My Life. This episode is going to be me talking about a health anxiety spiral that I'm currently in, and I'm going to be touching briefly on some symptoms that I've been dealing with, some fears that I've been having, as well as some triggers that have been contributing to my anxiety recently. In this book, however, I include everything for you. So if you're really wanting to delve deeper into everything that could be contributing to your health anxiety, if you would like to read about all of my health anxiety stories, my worst spirals, my biggest fears and obsessions that I've had in the past, and everything that I still do to this day to help me manage it, then that is the book for you. So if you do have the book, you're not imagining things. It was called Held Hostage by Health Anxiety and is now called Health Anxiety is Ruining My Life. And I will include I will include the book for you in the caption. You can also go to healthanxietybook.com and then you will find it there. Hey guys, welcome to a new episode. I have just come back from the store. It is such a beautiful day. It's sunny today and it's pretty warm. Like, I have a t-shirt on and I just threw a coat on over it and I was totally fine like that. I was actually getting hot, and while I was out, I was dealing with a lot of anxiety, and that's what this episode is. Like, I've been struggling with a little anxiety flare-up lately, GAD, health anxiety, a lot of symptoms, and I wanted to have a chat with you guys about it because I'm always very open and honest with you guys as much as I can be. And today has just not been a great day. This week has been kind of challenging, honestly. I got home just a little while ago, and the first thing that I wanted to do was sit down and just start recording this. I actually still have to have lunch, so I thought, why don't I just sit down, like, start recording it, and then I'll just take a break to have lunch, and then I'll continue. But yeah, here we are. It's always nice to sit down and chat with you. We know that this is not going to be, it's going to be all over the place probably as I just kind of jump from one thing to the next, but that is just who I am. That's just how these episodes always go. I always try to have some structure to them, but it always just, I mean, things come up as I'm chatting with you, like things that I want to bring up or talk about. So we'll just go with it. I'll just go with it and see what happens. So let me just start by talking about today and how I'm feeling today and what happened when I was out. Before I do that, though, I usually like to let you know what I'm drinking because I usually always make myself tea when I sit down. But I actually have a kombucha with me. It's a mint and chlorophyll one, which sounds just icky, I feel like. And it looks kind of icky, but it's really good. It tastes good. It's a really good alternative to sodas because it's much lower sugar, and because it's fermented, it's good for your gut. Because I've been struggling with my stomach. Like, when I'm anxious, it always affects my gut and I experience symptoms. And oh, so here we are. So I have my kombucha with me. I got myself a little chocolate cashew butter cup. I'm addicted to those things. It's pretty bad, but they're really yummy and I needed a little snack, so that's what I'm having right now. I bought myself some new tea today. I bought some red raspberry leaf, which is very good for your hormones. It's very good if you have a cup of it every single day. It can help with your period pain. If you suffer with really bad periods, it can help with your moods as well. So I got myself some because I haven't had it in a while. This is the thing, I'll be so consistent with something and then sometimes I'll run out of it. And then I just, because I'll be feeling good, I'll be like, oh, I don't need it right now. But that's the thing, we have to stay consistent with something when it's working, right? So I went to the health store, I got some red raspberry leaf tea, I got, and now of course my mind's gonna go blank now as I'm trying to think. I actually have the receipt right here, just hold on a second. I just got like a whole bunch of fresh stuff. I got myself like, I have to stop saying like, it's such a bad habit. I got myself some coconut curry sweet potato soup that I was actually going to have for lunch in a few minutes. And I just got some vegetables and some limes because I like to have. Lately, I've either been having mint tea or ginger tea in the morning, or I'll have hot water with lemon or lime. Like, I've been alternating, and sometimes I'll even have the warm water in the middle of the day with the lemon or lime. One thing I am going to talk about in this episode too is that I started drinking one cup of green tea a day, and I want to tell you guys how that is going because it has not been good. But I will get to that a little bit later on when I tell you guys what's been going on with me. So yeah, I just did like a little, I got some avocados. I just did a little healthy like fresh produce haul because, like I said, my tummy has just not been happy. Something just banged on my window. Anyway, here we are. We're back. So that's what I did. And so, okay, let me just like gather myself here and let me just tell you how today has been going. So last night, I got these cookies yesterday, and they're like gluten-free wafers. And because gluten really upsets my stomach, it's something that I never ever have gluten. Well, that's a blatant lie because I did have gluten a few months ago, but it's something that I never have because I'm so gluten intolerant. Not in the sense where it will affect me right away, but more in the sense that it will affect me days or weeks after the fact. That's why it took me such a long time in the past to discover the link between gluten and my anxiety because it wouldn't affect me right away. So, like, sometimes it would in terms of like I would feel really bloated and my tummy would feel unhappy, but a lot of the times it would only affect me afterwards. So gluten is something I really try to not eat because sometimes it will affect me. Well, not sometimes. If I have it, it will end up affecting me for weeks after in terms of me feeling anxious. So a few months ago I did have it and it did affect me and it completely threw off my hormones. Again, I'm not going to get into that right now. I'll talk to you about that a little bit later on in the episode. But the point is, I always like whenever I want to treat myself to something, I will not treat myself to gluten. Like I really won't. I really try not to because the after effects are just not worth it for me. And another thing that I'm intolerant to is dairy. If I have too much dairy, I get so much mucus buildup, and then I feel like I honestly can't breathe properly because I get so congested. It can affect my tummy. So I had these cookies last night, and I had a lot of them too because I was just on some kind of binge. And I didn't pay, like, I don't know why. I just assumed that it's gluten-free and dairy-free. Like, I just didn't pay attention, and now that I'm chatting with you guys, I'm realizing obviously there was a lot of sugar in there too, which is like helping me to make sense of how I've been feeling today. Like, I'm kind of putting the pieces together as I'm talking out loud here, but I had a whole bunch of them, and they're very small to be fair, but I didn't pay attention. Like, I just for some reason assumed gluten-free means dairy-free when I know that's not the case, but with these cookies, I just assumed that anyway. This morning I woke up with a lot of mucus. My tummy just did not feel happy, and then that's when I decided to have a look at the ingredients, and sure enough, whole milk fats and all of that, and I was like, oh great. So I didn't have gluten, but I had a whole bunch of dairy. Before I continue, because you know I love to insert little random things in between me telling you a story, do I talk really fast? Because sometimes I'll listen back to sections that I've recorded and I'm just like, whoa, you gotta slow down. And I've had a lot of people, my whole life, people have told me that I talk fast. When I was at school and it would be, and now as I'm talking, I'm trying to be mindful to talk slower. I feel like the way that my brain works, I have to talk fast. And it's the same when I'm listening to somebody, like when I'm watching a video with somebody. If the faster that they talk, the easier it is for me to just for them to like hold my concentration, I guess. It's just the way my mind is. And in my whole life, I remember at school, you know, when they go around and like you have to each read from a book. Oh my God, that was so anxiety inducing for me. I would sit there and wait for my turn. Like, oh my God, I hope that I haven't passed out by the time they get to me. Anyway, the teacher like would say, okay, it's your turn to read, it's your turn, or whatever, and then Tamarin, it's your turn. Oh my God, I'm like freaking out inside. But I would read so quickly, and the teacher would always say, why are you reading so fast? Like, why are you in such a hurry? Like, are you trying to catch a train or something? Like, just slow down. And now that I'm thinking back, I think I did it because I wanted to get it over with. I just like wanted it to be over. But my whole life, I've always read really fast and I talk really fast. So I always try to be mindful, but sometimes I listen to myself on here and I'm like, you need to slow down. I've had people not understand what I'm saying. And I just got thrown off because my phone buzzed. What was I even saying? Yeah, like I've always spoken really fast, and I like just earlier today, so I have this neighbor, and he's such a sweet guy. He's an older guy, and I swear that he must think that I am crazy because sometimes when I'm talking, I have to repeat myself so many times. And it's not because he can't hear, it's like he genuinely, because I've seen him talk to other people and he seems to understand them perfectly. So I'm like, am I talking too fast? Is it because I still have some kind of an accent? Because sometimes I will be talking and he'll just look at me so confused. Anyway, I think my neighbor thinks I'm crazy. I can't even tell you the amount of times that I have. Like, if I order something on Amazon and then I get a notification that my package is here, and where I go out of my building, like, I walk past his porch, really, I guess, and he can see me walk to the mailboxes, and then I get my package, and then I walk back. And the amount of times that my package has been here, and I've just thrown on the most, I will just throw in the most random outfit. Like, I look crazy. And I'll just run out there as quickly as I can and not see him. And then he'll say hi. And then I'll be like, oh my God. And he looks at me like I'm crazy and I'm dressed weird and I'm like clutching my package. Anyway, as you guys, if you're new here, I just want to say that you're probably like, what podcast is this? Because this woman is crazy. I'm not crazy. Well, I mean, maybe I am, but this is how my podcast episodes go. We talk about one thing and then we end up having a whole story about another thing. So anyway, I honestly, like, I would be curious to know if you guys think I talk really fast. I know a lot of people, some people prefer that and other people like need someone to talk slower. So I would genuinely love to know. But I am being more mindful of it and I am trying to not talk as fast because I know that when I get going with something, I can just really go. Anyway, you know what? Let's reel this back in. Let's go back to what I was saying. So I had these cookies last night and I woke up this morning not feeling great. Guys, I cannot stress enough to you. And if you've been here a while, you know this. If you're new, or maybe you just need the reminder. Everything that we eat is linked to how we feel and the intensity of our anxiety and the type of symptoms that we experience. So I'm actually going to take a break right here, and it's not like I needed to even announce it because, I mean, I could just pause this and you guys wouldn't even know, and I could just continue. But I mean, I'm just gonna tell you, like, I'm gonna go have some lunch now, so. I'm gonna go have some soup and hope that that's fine because, like I was telling you guys, my stomach is just really unhappy. When I get back, which for you is gonna be in a few seconds, for me it's gonna be in a little bit, then I will tell you about my little episode when I was out today, and then I will tell you, and then we will talk more about how anxiety has been affecting me lately, and the triggers that I've been identifying as contributing to that, and some ways that I'm managing it, based on, the tools that I have accumulated over the years and things that I've learned. And you just go back to that when it flares up again. So I will talk to you in a few minutes or maybe a bit longer. And well, for you, it's a few seconds. Like I said, I didn't need to announce it. But anyway, I'm gonna go have some soup. I'll be back in a few. And I'm back. It's almost 2 hours later for me because I had some soup and then I was doing some things and I was getting a post. I was working on a post to put up on Instagram and I was just doing a few things and here I am. I realized just before I came on that I have soup in my hair because apparently I'm 5 and not 35. Sometimes it's so crazy to me that I'm 35 years old and I'm just like, what? Like, when I think about it like that, it's like I'm 40 in 5 years. I'm turning 36 this year. I saw a video the other day on TikTok that a girl had posted saying, she said, does anyone else feel like they should be at least 4 or 5 years younger than they actually are? Especially since the pandemic, a lot of people say that they feel like they've, you lost years. Do you feel like that too? Because I feel like if I was 30 years old, that somehow makes sense to me. Like I can imagine saying I'm 30 or like I've just turned 30. I feel like from 30 to 35, it's just been this blur. I don't know, man. It just feels weird. Anyway, I'm going off track here again. So let's get back on track. I have some tea with me this time. I've actually almost finished it because I was sipping on it before I even came on here. I made some red raspberry leaf tea. I've just been struggling with hormonal symptoms lately. I told you guys that I had gluten and things that I don't usually eat over the holidays, and then it totally threw off my hormones where my period was very late. Like instead of getting it on like my 28th day like I usually do, I think I got it on my 42nd day or something. So my hormones were completely off, and my periods are usually very regular, and ever since then I've noticed a lot of anxiety, like up and down. So that's definitely one contributing factor with how I've been feeling lately and with having a health anxiety flare. So what I was talking about previously, as I told you that I'm going to talk about my day today and how it's been. I already went over how I woke up this morning not feeling the best. And I lately, with every symptom that I've been feeling, my health anxiety has been trying to latch onto that. So this morning I woke up just not feeling the best. My stomach was just not happy. A lot of mucus. When you have a lot of mucus going on, it can cause you to feel very tired. Anxiety in general can cause you to feel tired. Just the stress hormones can. And I don't like feeling tired. Like, when I'm tired, I think that that's a trigger for me too. Even if the fatigue makes sense and you can trace it back to, oh, I haven't been sleeping the best. Or, okay, maybe I've been sleeping well, but my iron levels are probably low from heavy periods or whatever the case is. But fatigue is a big trigger for me. So this morning I felt my health anxiety just trying to latch on to everything. And I was trying to just keep busy and do my usual morning routine so that I wasn't fixating on it, because the old me would go sit on Google, which is something I do not do anymore. That is a big difference between then and now. And I really urge you to stay off Google. And I always talk about my A to Z because I wrote it for that reason, to keep you off of Google. But so I don't go on Google anymore, and I was trying to just do my usual routine that I do, and I was like washing the dishes and just trying to just focus on other things and not start to obsess over how I was feeling. I just realized that I've had my heater on in the back, so if there's been a weird kind of droning noise or like a humming, whatever, that's my little heater that I have on because it's gotten cold. My room is so cold all the time. So I have this little heater on. Like, even though there's indoor heating and stuff, it's just, I don't know, my room is just always cold. So I had it on, but I've turned it off now because I feel like the mic does pick it up. So just in case you were wondering, like, I don't even know if you can hear it. I'll have to listen back with my earphones in, but just in case, like, that's what it was. So I needed to go out and get a few things, and like where I live walking distance to a lot of things that are just, it's just really convenient. So and I love walking. Like I love going for walks. I love being outside, especially since I'm so much better with my anxiety. I love going for walks and getting fresh air. It's such a beautiful day today. It's starting to get dark now though, but it's been sunny and clear all day. And right before I came back on here, I got a notification on my phone that we have a rainfall warning. So the weather's obviously going to change. But I don't mind when it's sunny one day and then rainy the next, as long as there's that sun in between. So I was looking forward to getting out today and just getting, like, going for a little walk and getting what I need. And I needed to go to the library as well. I don't need to go to the library because I have way too many books, but I wanted to pick up the second one in a duology that I read. And just in case any of you love reading, it's called the duology is the first book is Vicious and the second one is Vengeful. Oh, I don't remember the author's name, but if you look up those books, you'll see them. So I wanted to go pick up the second book, and I wanted to go pick up some food and whatever. And I also wanted to pick up some muscle gel, some magnesium cream, because I hurt my muscle and it's been really painful. Anyway, it's been a week. It's been a week. So usually I look forward to going out, and I was looking forward to because of the sun and everything. But because I've been feeling anxious all morning, and another symptom that I had all day today has been my heart has just been racing. I've been dealing with heart palpitations as well. And I was a little bit dizzy this morning. And so let me go over the symptoms that I was experiencing this morning before I left. So I felt really tired this morning. I've been feeling tired for a few days. Whenever I deal with an anxiety flare-up or symptoms, I'm always tired. So I just want to remind you that if you find that you're fatigued all the time, but you're dealing with physical symptoms all the time, or mental or emotional symptoms, or dealing with any kind of stress or anxiety, that may be one of the first things you notice is that you're tired all the time. And it makes sense because it takes such a toll mentally, emotionally, physically. So I was a little bit tired this morning. I actually feel a lot better now, and I feel better than I felt yesterday, so that's good. But I was tired. I had all that like mucus, obviously from the dairy. I was feeling a little bit dizzy, which can happen for a few different reasons. I have two blog posts talking about that, and I have podcast episodes talking about that as well. So I'm not going to go too deep into detail about each symptom, but I was feeling a little bit off balance, which always makes me uneasy. It doesn't matter that I've had the symptoms so many times. I think you can agree with me, like when you're just not feeling steady, and it manifests differently for everybody. So for some people it's like full-blown dizziness, like room spinning around you. For other people, it's just kind of this unsettling feeling like you're gonna tip over kind of thing, and you don't feel stable on your feet, or you feel like the floor is moving underneath your feet. A lot of people say that it feels like they're walking on a boat. So it does manifest differently for everybody. And I wasn't severely dizzy, like I have experienced before, but I was dizzy enough where I was thinking, should I go out? Because do I really want to go outside walking when I'm feeling a little bit dizzy? But I also don't want to do what I used to do, where I let anxiety kind of dictate my day. So I was trying to ignore that. What else? It was mainly the dizziness. I was feeling fatigued and my heart was racing, and I do not like it when my heart races. I always say that it makes every other symptom feel so much worse when your heart rate is really high. So I think those were the main symptoms that I was feeling. Oh, and then my stomach was also just not feeling happy. It was just, I had some cramping and it just didn't feel good. And then because my period is over now, my health anxiety tried to latch onto that. Like, well, your period's over, why do you have pain? Even though this happens to me so often, and I have endo, so it makes sense. But that's the thing with health anxiety, it's not logical, and it will freak you out. It doesn't matter how logical you are. It doesn't matter how much you're able to explain away a situation. It will make you worry. That's just what health anxiety does. If you're not worrying, you don't have health anxiety, right? Okay, so this may seem a little weird, but it's actually the next day. I feel like I ended that so abruptly, and I wasn't planning on ending it. And honestly, whenever I record these episodes, I always do them in one sitting. If I take a break, it's because I have to pee, or I'll go make myself some tea, or I'll get some water or something. But usually I will sit down and record these in one sitting. I think there's been one podcast episode that I did over 2 days. I think it's titled Having a Vulnerable Conversation with You, something like that, because that one was really long. So I remember doing that one over 2 days, but otherwise I never do that. I just have to acknowledge the fact that I am not in a good place right now in terms of anxiety, in terms of just symptoms, in terms of health anxiety. I took a little break yesterday and then I ended up just spiraling. And like, you guys know how it goes. And I had planned to finish the episode and have it ready for you, but I just, like, I couldn't. I was just in my head. I had to really try to calm myself down. It's funny how you can have been, like, I have gone through this so many times, and I don't remember the last time that it was this bad. And I have to just acknowledge the fact that this is a temporary setback, and really emphasize the word temporary here, because that's what it is. It's very easy to fall back into a spiral and be like, oh my God, like, what the heck? I thought I'm past this, I'm over this. And like, you feel like you just have gotten nowhere. I don't feel like that. I really don't. Like, it's different for me now, but that doesn't mean that I'm not frustrated. And I just want to say again here, I say this all the time, but like, I really just need to say it again, how grateful I am for this community. Because I went on my stories on Instagram last night and just like, just chatted with you guys and like, let you guys know that I'm in a spiral. And I don't know why I'm feeling emotional right now, but you guys are always just so kind and understanding. Because the thing is, sometimes I feel like, sometimes I can be really hard on myself, because I'm like, I've come so far, and I, like I always say, this is our community. I don't like to say my community. I like to say our community, because there wouldn't be a community if it wasn't for all of us here together. But I think that I sometimes, like, because I'm the guide, right? Like, I'm like your guys' guide. I want to be that person that inspires you to get better. Because I was where you may be right now, where I dealt with it every single day for years, for actual years. And I know how hopeless it feels, and how you just can't see the light. So I just want to thank you guys for just being there and being here. And for anyone who sent me a message, I really appreciate it. I feel like I just have to say again, and this is something that I need to work on. People always say to me, stop apologizing, but or stop saying what I'm about to say. Like, I don't ever share things looking for sympathy. I share things to be honest with you guys and let you know where I'm at, because that's the whole point of this community. I'm not going to pretend that. I'm not going to only show up when I'm feeling good or when things are going well in my life. I'm also going to show up when I'm struggling. So I got some amazing messages last night that really meant the world to me. And like, this is just two of them that I wanted to share with you and just say thank you again. This was in response to me apologizing for, because I was apologizing and saying, I feel bad for complaining. So somebody had responded to me and said, you're venting and you're having a setback. Setbacks are normal. Health anxiety absolutely sucks. I know this all too well. You're here for us. We are here for you. We got this. And then another one, was, you are seen, valued, and your honesty is appreciated. You can absolutely be a beacon of hope and inspiration while simultaneously needing the support of community. I am so glad to have found this space. These messages mean more to me than I could ever put into words, and I just want to always say thank you and just let you know that even though I'm not always able to respond to all of the messages that I receive, I see them, and they really are very special to me. So, continuing on with the episode, Of course, things are kind of all over the place now, but I mean, when are they not? I want to just kind of continue, I guess, from yesterday, and now I'm trying to think, what did I even say yesterday? I probably should have gone back and listened. Although it's always so cringy to me to listen, like to hear myself. You know, it's so weird hearing yourself still now, even though I've been doing this for so long. It's like, is that how I sound? Is that my voice? Anyway, I think I was. I'm not really sure where this episode is going. I knew that I wanted to sit down and tell you guys that I'm in a spiral right now and just talk about some of the symptoms that I'm dealing with and how I've been feeling, and then some of the things that help me as well. Going back to yesterday, if you follow me on Instagram and you keep up with my stories, I had shared a story where I had said, I'm sitting on a random bench right now and I was trying to not cry. I did end up crying, but I was like, I didn't want anyone to see me, and I was just like doing it like secretly kind of. But my symptoms yesterday were not good, and I had to go out, and I didn't want anxiety to dictate my day like it used to, so I decided to get dressed, put my shoes on, and off I went. The weather was really beautiful, which definitely helps. It definitely helps when it's not too cold or too hot, because I feel like in extreme temperatures really seem to affect my anxiety as well. Like if it's too cold, I'll sometimes feel like I'm short of breath, and if it's too hot, I guess if it's too hot, it's the same thing. But I feeling overheated is really awful for me. And yesterday actually was a bit warmer than I had expected. But it was okay. I had a t-shirt on, so I could just take my jacket off. But then when I went into the store to get the things that I needed, I guess they had their heating cranked up really high, and that is the worst for me. Like I cannot stand feeling hot, because immediately that I start my heart beats faster, I start to get dizzy. I feel like I'm gonna pass out, and then you know how it just spirals from there. So I was standing in line, and there was somebody busy paying, and they had a whole bunch of stuff. And then there was someone behind them, so in front of me, with maybe two or three things, and then there was me. And when you are standing in line and your symptoms are just intensifying, all you want to do is you just want this to be over so you can get outside. Like I desperately needed to get outside. And the doors like was really close to the what do you call it, to the till, right? And I was just like staring at the door and thinking, I just kept telling myself it's a comfort thing. It's always been a comfort thing for me if I know how to get out of somewhere really quickly. And I think that's why Costco was always a big issue for me when I was really anxious, because when you're in the middle of Costco, you're really far from the exit. So it gives me some kind of relief if I know I'm really close to the exit, and I'm like, okay, well, if I feel like I am gonna pass out and I get really dizzy, I can just take a few steps to the door and be outside. And then, I mean, obviously people are gonna probably be looking and watch me just drop my stuff and leave, but I have that option. And I think when you're really anxious and you're feeling panic creeping up on you, it's like a comfort thing knowing that you have options like that, if that makes sense. And I feel like it does if you're listening to this. So while I was standing there, I could just it felt like the old me, the old version of me. I was just getting really hot, my heart was racing and kind of flipping over in my chest. I was feeling dizzy, which is really annoying. I really struggle with the dizziness, and that was always a symptom that would actually cause me to leave places sometimes. And I was just standing there, and I was telling myself, it's okay, we've been here before. And the thing with anxiety is, it's like you don't want to look like you're being rude, because for me, I'll get really fidgety. I have to move. I can't stand still, because that's the thing. When we're anxious, we have adrenaline flowing through us, and then the minute we stand still, it feels very unnatural, because adrenaline is designed to make us move and not stand still. That's why sometimes it can really help to just kind of, I always say, like literally stand up and jump around and shake out your limbs and stuff, but it's kind of hard to do that if you're standing in line or if you're at work or somewhere where you may look weird doing that, right? So I was just really focusing on my breathing. Breathing in and out through your nose can really help. you have to let your nervous system know that you're safe. And if you're feeding into the thoughts, so if you're feeling fear and then you're like, oh my God, or say you get an intrusive thought that's like, oh, this is serious, and then you feed into that and you're like, oh fuck, is this serious? Sorry to swear. I try not to do that, but anyway, that let's just go with it. Then you're basically confirming to your brain like you are in danger and the symptoms are going to intensify. So you need to find ways to soothe your nervous system and let yourself know that you're okay. And that's why, like, I will repeat to myself, we've been here a million times, I'm fine, this is okay, you're safe. Even if you don't feel safe, you kind of just have to do it. It's a repetitive thing. Like, you have to do it, you have to say it to yourself over and over again to affirm it. And then the breathing is an instant signal to your nervous system that you're okay the minute you slow your breathing down. And when you're in panic, you're not breathing deeply. You're taking in very shallow breaths, which just makes everything worse. So breathing in and out through your nose only can help, although it can be hard if you're congested, as I was. And then you're breathing and your nose is squeaking and you're not getting enough air. Anyway, do what you can. What can help as well is, if you really can't just breathe in and out through your nose, you could try breathing in through, you could just do it through your mouth, but purse your lips like you're breathing in through a straw and out through a straw. The whole trick is that you want to streamline the air coming in and out of your body. You don't want to gulp the air. You want to, by streamlining it, you're able to take in deeper breaths and you're able to have longer exhales. And the minute you can extend your exhales, it immediately soothes your nervous system. So that's what I was doing. And I was moving around a lot. And I was trying to, because we also get in our heads, we're like, oh, people can notice that I'm moving. And if you see someone looking at you, like, you think to yourself, oh, maybe they think I'm impatient and I don't want to look rude. And then you try to keep still. But if, as long as you know that you're doing what you can and you know that you're not being rude, then it's okay. Because I'll sometimes stand there and be so worried that I'm appearing rude. I've had people look back at me while they're paying when I'm very fidgety. And I feel so bad because I think to myself, they must think that I'm really impatient. And I am, but not because I'm impatient with them. It's more just I'm feeling so anxious that I want to get this over so that I can get outside and get into fresh air and just kind of be by myself. So it's a tricky thing when you're standing in line and you're trying to just get through it. I really do understand. And so going back quickly, I had gone to the library first because I was feeling okay at this point. I was worried about how I was going to feel when I left. I left home, I was feeling okay. I went to the library and I picked up a book. I think I had told you guys about this yesterday, early on for you, but yesterday for me. And then as I was leaving the library, I felt like this twinge in my stomach, and when I'm anxious, it affects my stomach, always. I feel like I don't talk about this enough. I feel like I've put so much emphasis on other symptoms, like the twitching and the dizziness and the shortness of breath. I feel like I haven't spoken enough about how it affects my stomach. My latest blog post goes into detail about this. And I will do a podcast episode. I have a list going right now of episodes I'm going to be doing. So I will do a separate episode where I just talk about the stomach issues. And I recommend checking out that blog post because I go into a lot of detail in there. But I feel like I don't always talk about how it affects my stomach. And thinking back, I used to have stomach issues every single day. It was something that I just learn to live with, I guess, because that's the only way of life that's all I knew, is my stomach was always upset. And I had kind of just told myself that you kind of make it your identity, like, this is who I am, I just have a sensitive stomach. I wasn't digging deeper into how anxiety could be contributing or anything else that could be contributing factors. I just kind of accepted the fact that I have a sensitive stomach, blah blah blah, you know how it goes. And because I haven't been dealing with these symptoms in such a long time, stomach issues used to be something that was a constant for me, and I couldn't imagine ever having a stomach that felt calm. And then over the past few years, it's been a different story where my stomach has been really calm. And if it flares up, it's because it's like my hormones, or I'm on my period, or I'm ovulating, or I'm going through a period of stress, or I've eaten something. That's a big thing. I've eaten something that is affecting my stomach, because I'm very, very sensitive to certain foods. So I haven't had these symptoms in a long time. So this was familiar, but it was just also new because it's been such a long time. So I started to feel this kind of spasm pain in the one side of my stomach, and I used to get this all the time, but like I just said, because I haven't had it in so long, I started to worry about it. In that article, I talked to you guys about IBS, because I was diagnosed with IBS when I was, they used to call it a spastic colon, which sounds really bad, doesn't it? Like, IBS just sounds bitter. But I was probably 12, I think I was like 12 turning 13, and my mom had to come pick me up from school because I had an IBS flare. I had no idea what IBS was at the time, and I was in so much pain, like spasm type pain, that my mom took me to the doctor, and I did a urine test, and the doctor said that I have a spastic colon, and it lasted for about like a few days. And since then, I would get flare-ups sometimes. And so one thing with anxiety is anxiety doesn't cause IBS, but it can worsen the symptoms of IBS. So my stomach has just not been the happiest lately. You know when you're just very aware of it and it's making noises, although I feel like my stomach always makes noises, but it's just feeling like it's churning a lot. It doesn't feel great. I also ended my period recently. This is a very exciting topic, but I know that this is helpful for some people. I ended my period recently, and so the thing with endo is your pain can extend beyond your period, and the amount of times in the past, like way back when I would Google specifically, and I remembered because I was dealing with pain since this period ended, the amount of times in the past where I would Google, is it normal to still have period type pain when your period ends? Is it normal to experience ovulation pain early? Like, that's the type of thing that I would Google. And that, like, just remembering that has brought some comfort for me. But as you know, with health anxiety, it doesn't matter if we've experienced something many times before, we will worry about it as if it's the first time. And that's the thing too, not everybody experiences ovulation symptoms, and your anxiety can actually increase leading up to ovulation and during ovulation. If you think about it as a woman, with our cycles every single month, there's a very small gap where you feel good, and I think I spoke about this in a previous episode, because you're bleeding and you have your period and you're feeling like crap. And then usually that time between ending your period and ovulation, that is your best time where you feel the best. And I feel like last month I felt really good then, but this month is a different story, because if you're dealing with pre-ovulation symptoms, so basically right as your period ends, you're not really getting any time to feel good because you're bleeding, then you're having pre-ovulation symptoms, then you're ovulating, and then from ovulation until your next period, as you know, as many of you guys know, you're dealing with really horrible symptoms then as well. So I think the anxiety really started to climb for me when I left the library yesterday, because I was feeling the twinges in my stomach. And in the past, there's been times where, there was a time specifically when I was at Costco, it's always Costco, where I was there and I got a cramp in my stomach where I couldn't stand up straight. And that's very panic inducing when you're not at home in your safe space. You're out somewhere where there's a lot of people, a lot of noise, it's just sensory overload. And then you're dealing with anxiety, and then you have this cramp that's really scary. And I remember just leaning down. I would pretend that I would be looking at something like low down, or like I'd be tying my shoe or something, because there were times that I'd be there and the pain would be awful, and I would just want to leave. I just desperately need to leave. So I think that the anxiety was starting to climb for me yesterday when I left the library. I started to feel that pain in my stomach because I've had this pain before, and I know that it can stay like that or it can turn into like really bad spasm type pain. So I sat down for a little bit. I found a random bench. That's not when I shared the story with you guys though on Instagram. I just sat on this random little bench and I was just taking deep breaths, and I was debating whether or not I should just go home or if I should still go get the few things that I needed at the health store. But it was feeling okay, and I told myself, it's fine, just take deep breaths, it'll be okay. So I went to the health store and I could feel it the whole time. And you know how when you have health anxiety, or just anxiety, we're so fixated on symptoms. And often a symptom could be mild, but because of the intense focus we place on it, it suddenly feels so much more intense. So I was at the health store, like very, very mindful of the symptom, and I got what I needed, but I felt myself rushing a little bit. That's something that I always used to do when I would go to the grocery store or any store with panic. I would always rush because I just wanted to leave, and I could feel myself doing that. Like I said, it felt like I had stepped back into an old version of myself. And then when it came time to pay, I felt myself very anxious. I got through it, but I was very, very anxious. And I was at the till, like, paying, and the lady was, like, trying to talk to me, and I was responding, but I could feel myself just wanting to get out of there. And then she was, like, packing the stuff, because I had quite a few things, so she was packing the stuff in a bag for me, but she was doing it so slowly and mindfully, which I really appreciate, but I just wanted to get out of there. And I had another bag with me, and I just said, oh, look, I have another bag, let me help you. And I was, like, flinging stuff in there so that I could get out. And like I had mentioned before, we don't want to appear rude, but we do what we can, right, like, when we're really anxious. And then I stepped outside and I felt just relief just being in the cool air, because it had been so hot and stuffy inside. And I'm so strange, because if I go out, sometimes I'm so confused if I'm hot or cold. And I had a jacket on, and I had it on like one arm and off the other arm, because I felt like I was too cold with it off, and then when it was on, I was too hot. So I had it like kind of on my one, I just had it on one arm and off the other. And I was ready to go home, but this is when I sat down on a bench, and I was just like, I was just sitting there and feeling horrible. You guys know, like, that feeling that you have when you've just had all of this adrenaline flowing, and it's starting to come down, but it's still lingering. And I just sat on this bench and I just wanted to cry. I was feeling so sorry for myself, and I could feel tears coming, and I just sat there, and I just told myself it's okay, and I kept taking deep breaths. And then this lady walked by with her two dogs, and the one was this huge Labrador, and it was so friendly and just wanted to come to me. And she was trying to, like, keep walking, but he wouldn't stop. He was insisting on coming to me, and it just made me want to, like, you know when you've just been feeling so horrible, and you know when someone gives you sympathy, or when something is showing you love, like this dog, it was just so sweet. And I just wanted to sob, but just having him come up was so, it was just so nice. And then I sat there for a few minutes longer, and I was just telling myself it's okay. It's very important to talk kindly to yourself and not be angry, because that's what I used to do. I would get so frustrated. I would have an episode like that, and I would be like, oh, come on, we can't keep doing this. And so you just have to be really, really gentle with yourself. Even though you're frustrated, it's natural to feel frustrated. And then I was feeling okay, and I walked home, which wasn't far. And I was being really mindful to try to walk slowly, because when I'm feeling anxious, I find myself rushing. And again, it's that adrenaline that's just like flowing through us, and it makes us want to move. We feel like we need to be doing something, but sometimes we have to do the opposite, because by giving into that urge to really be busy and to move quickly, it's kind of sending a signal to our brain that, oh, maybe we are in danger. And then our brain will behave accordingly. So when you're doing the opposite, it can feel very strange. Like me forcing myself to walk home slowly and to not be rushing felt really weird for me. It felt like I should be rushing and I should be hurrying, but I forced myself to just slow down and just really focus on things around me. That's important too, as I was paying attention to how the sun felt on me and the wind and the sounds that I was hearing, just to try to get out of my body a little bit, where I was just feeling really scared, and just try to focus on what's going on around me. That can really help to ground you when you feel like you're spiraling. And then when I got home, I just burst into tears. I was feeling okay. I thought I was fine. And then I got home and I think it's almost like it's like memory from how it used to be, if that makes sense. It's like my body remembers how I used to deal with this all the time. And I just cried and felt so sad. And I let myself cry. I really do things differently now in terms of not being hard on myself when I'm struggling with anxiety. So I let myself cry. I felt a lot better by just letting myself do that and not resisting and forcing myself to be strong and whatever, because there's still this thing where, you know, being strong means not crying and putting on this tough act. And strength is really allowing yourself to be vulnerable and allowing yourself to feel your feelings without judgment. And then I immediately sat down and started recording this episode that you're listening to right now. And then you guys know I went and had some soup and did some things and then came back all optimistic to finish this. And then I started to spiral again. And I just, it's frustrating. I think I keep saying that, but I you guys know it's frustrating, because you have things that you want to do. And yesterday I had really, like, my goal for yesterday was to record a podcast episode. Even if I didn't get it out for you guys, I wanted to finish recording it. So yeah, it's annoying when anxiety is interfering. But a bit of advice that I'll give you here is, when you're in an episode, just go with it and just let things happen as they happen. If you're not able to get a task done, don't be like, oh, I'm not letting anxiety tell me what to do, I'm gonna push myself through this. Don't be hard on yourself like that. Really try to listen to what you need in the moment and sit with yourself and just sit with yourself quietly, take a few deep breaths and just see what comes up. Like, does it feel right for me to push myself to finish this right now? Or could I take a step back and maybe finish it tomorrow? Or even better, could I wake up and see how I'm feeling? And if I feel okay, maybe I'll try to finish this. And if not, maybe I can do it another day. Obviously, if you're able to, depending on whatever the task is. So I spent my night just listening to music and reading and just allowing myself to just relax and do things that make me feel good. That's important too. Like, what is something that you love to do that you can go sit and do and it will allow you to get out of your head for a bit? I know it's not always possible if your spiral is really bad, but even if you can get out of your head a little bit, then that can make a difference. I woke up this morning. The thing is, like you guys know this, is I've been very focused on every symptom lately. I can feel that my hormones have been all over the place based on my moods and my emotions lately. And so let's talk about identifying triggers. I always tell you guys, if you're dealing with an anxiety episode, whether it's just symptoms or whether you're in a full-blown health anxiety spiral, one thing that I always say and a word that I always use is to get curious. Instead of getting angry or frustrated, why is this happening? What's going on? To get curious and to ask questions. And I do have an episode where I go deeper into this. It's one of the recent ones that I recorded. But so I do recommend listening to that. But just to touch on it briefly here is to, if you're able to just relax, because when we're in a state of panic, we can't think logically. So I would recommend first just giving yourself some time to get out of that complete panic state. That's not to say that you're not still going to feel anxious, but it's like that feeling when you immediately discover a new symptom, or you've just Googled and Google has told you that you are dying, and that feeling of absolute horror. We can't think logically or sit down with ourselves and ask ourselves anything when we're in that state. So if you're in that state, allow yourself to come down from that and give you, and because you definitely will, even without doing anything, you will come down from the peak of it. But to bring yourself down faster, like just sit with yourself, take some deep breaths, immediately focus on something, pick up a book, randomly pick up a book and just tell yourself you're going to read one page and read the page out loud. Like just, it tricks your brain and it just gets you out of that mindset that you may currently be in when you're panicking. Like last night, I had convinced myself that I have a bladder infection, which is a very common thing, but my brain was blowing things out of proportion, and I remembered some things that I've read before, and I was just not thinking logically. And when you don't think logically, nothing good comes of just panicking, but I know how hard it is to not panic when you have health anxiety, and you remember things that you've read, or you come across those illness videos. But if I really, from my perspective, like from my experience here, if I sit with myself logically now and I'm like, Tamron, why are you dealing with symptoms right now? And why do you think you're in a spiral? Like, what's going on? What's been different? So what have you been doing differently? So I definitely do feel like this is hormonal based for me. My hormones were completely thrown off at the beginning of this year, where I think I'd mentioned earlier in this episode that my periods are very regular. Despite any hormonal issues I have or endo or anything like that, my periods are very, very regular. So I'll get it every 28 to 30 days is my cycle. But in January, I didn't get a period, and then I got it on my like I think 42nd day. So that was just, that never happened. So my hormones have been completely thrown off, and this last period that I had was on my 28th day, so I'm back to being regular, but I still feel like my hormones are kind of all over right now. Like, I can still feel it. And when my hormones are thrown off, that's when my anxiety increases, always. That's when my endo symptoms flare up and I get pain that lingers beyond my period. I just have to think back. And this is why keeping a health anxiety journal can be really helpful. In my latest book, I share everything that I still do now that helps me. I won't be able to go through all of it in this episode, but in that book, I share a lot of little things that you may not have even thought of, because sometimes it's the smallest things that make the biggest difference when we're doing them consistently every day. So I myself have to go back to a lot of these things when I'm struggling. So right now I'm actually doing that. I'm listing out my symptoms, and so that if in a few months, say I go through this spiral again, I can look back on now and be like, oh, remember you had this recently. Just that can bring so much comfort. So for me, if I'm logical about it, it's definitely a hormonal thing. So that's a question that you can ask yourself, is how are your hormones? Like, do you really struggle every month during your period and with ovulation? Do you feel like your hormones could be contributing? Because hormones are a big contributing factor to anxiety levels increasing. I remember about 2 years ago, I was having an endo flare where my period ended, and then I still continued to have pain, and I had pain every single day. And I was doing some research, but I was just specifically doing research for endo, so I wasn't just googling random stuff. I was just specifically looking into endo stuff, and I was watching videos on YouTube, and I remember I came across this video on YouTube where these women were explaining their experiences with endo, and I just cried watching it, because you know when you have dealt with something for so long, things that have maybe been unexplained, because I've been to doctors with my symptoms, and they would always just say to me, you just have difficult periods, you should just be on the pill because that's going to help with your symptoms and blah blah blah. Like, that was always what I was told. There was never really any interest in digging deeper. And watching this video with these women describing the endo experiences and how it affects their whole entire life, it made me so emotional, and it was so validating, and it brought such comfort to, of course you feel terrible that other people struggle, but it brings so much comfort to know that you're not alone with something. And it was around this time, so this was about 2 years ago, that I went through a period where I was like really digging into endo stuff, because I was clearly dealing with a flare up and I was having pain every day, my emotions were all over the place. And that's when I came across this book that I actually have here with me, because I just started flipping through it last night. And here's the thing, I bought this book 2 years ago and I have not read it yet, because what happened was I got the book and then I started, my symptoms just eased up and I just never read the book. Can you believe that? So I've had this book just sitting here. But I also say that as well, like, I feel like books find us at the perfect time, and this book has been staring at me from my shelf, so I picked it up, and it's called, and yes, I'm gonna say it, I know there's guys here listening too, but whatever, it's called Vagina Problems by Laura Parker, and it says endometriosis, painful sex, and other taboo topics. I'm going to read that book, and if you have endo or if you struggle with your periods in any way, then you should pick it up and try it as well. I'm recommending it to you even though I haven't read it, but I will say that I picked it up last night and I just opened to a random page and it ended up being the chapter on endometriosis, and I'm just trying to find it here. I think it was chapter 3. And she just basically describes how a flare-up feels, and she describes the pain of endo. And reading this is just so relatable to me, because I know what this pain feels like. And it's so crazy when, and people tell me this who come into my page all the time. They say, for the first time in my life, I'm seeing someone put into words how I've been feeling. And that's how I felt reading that chapter. I was like, someone's putting into words how I've been feeling. And it's a very emotional thing, because it's so validating. And it feels good to be validated. It feels like finally someone understands and I'm not just being dismissed. I wasn't planning on this being a hormonal episode, and it's not, because I'm not going to dig deeper into that right now. I wasn't planning on digging into my endo and all of that. I'm just trying to show you guys how I'm, like, just trying to show you from my experience how I'm going through a flare-up of health anxiety right now, and I'm trying to figure out what could be contributing to that. And I know that when you have an endo flare, it can increase your anxiety levels as well. And then obviously because of endo, like, endo-causing symptoms, and then health anxiety fixates on the symptoms. So it's a cycle, of course, as we know. It's this endless fucking cycle that just feels like we're stuck in it. But we're not. That's just what our brain makes us believe when we're going through it. So endo is definitely, and my hormones are definitely a contributing factor. Another really big thing that if I really sit with myself, and I'm honest with myself, I do believe that being online so much has been contributing to, not Instagram surprisingly, but TikTok. I've been a lot more active on TikTok lately. Our community has grown there amazingly. It's been so, like, I love seeing people discovering the things that I share for the first time and finally getting that clarity that they've been desperately seeking. And that sense of relief that, oh, anxiety really can cause all of these things. And the thing when you're sharing a lot and there's a lot of people seeing your stuff, obviously the more people that are finding you, the more comments you're seeing. And there was a video that I shared that got over 1 million views recently, and it was on itchy skin. So here's the thing, I'm sharing stuff as I'm dealing with it, Or I'm sharing something that I've seen a few people mention in a post, and I'm like, oh, let me touch on that symptom. So a symptom that I have been experiencing is just itchy, tingling skin. You know that crawling sensation over your scalp? I've been getting that, and then I've been getting tingling in my face. I've also been getting just weird skin things where my skin just feels very itchy. I feel very uncomfortable in my skin sometimes where I just don't even want to have clothes touching it. And I've been told that this can be a neurodivergent thing. So I have been told that I very likely have borderline personality disorder. I have a separate episode on this. I kind of diagnosed myself before any therapist even told me I have all the traits of it. And I just want to quickly say that there's a very big stigma around BPD still, where the minute you tell someone you have BPD, they immediately assume that you're this very violent, crazy person. But there are varying levels of it, and I have more quiet BPD, where I internalize things more. And also, obviously, if a person has awareness, they're going to be responding differently versus someone who has zero awareness. So it's very important to not judge somebody when they're saying, I have borderline personality disorder, because it just sounds like such an awful thing, or any other mental illness. It's very important that we don't judge, because it can be very hard for a person to be honest and open about a diagnosis when they feel like they're going to be judged for it. Okay, now I have Googled this because me trying to summarize this and put this into my own words is going to be a sad situation. I don't want to put you through that. So, just in case you're completely unfamiliar, the term neurodivergent describes people whose brain differences affect how their brain works. That means they have different strengths and challenges from people whose brains don't have those differences. The possible differences include medical disorders, learning disabilities, and other conditions. A neurodivergent person refers to a person on the autism spectrum, or more generally, to someone whose brain processes information in a way that is not typical of most individuals. So this could be a whole episode on its own, but there are certain other disorders that have neurodivergent traits. BPD is one. There's actually a lot of traits of BPD that cross over with autism, and sometimes people are misdiagnosed with one or the other because some of the traits are so similar. And then ADHD is another big one. So I'm not going to get all into that. But one of the things, one neurodivergent trait is that you can feel very uncomfortable in your skin, and you can experience really uncomfortable skin sensations. And you have days where you just don't feel comfortable in your skin, and you don't want to wear clothes because clothes feel uncomfortable on your skin and it makes you itchy. And you just, I've always described it as like wanting to crawl out of my skin. And when your anxiety levels flare, it can contribute to this as well. Anxiety on its own can cause you to have really uncomfortable skin sensations. So I put a post up, and I shared it on Instagram as well, just a video, me with like my phone propped up in my windowsill, because you have to post a video. So sometimes I'm just like, I'll randomly post me there, and then I just put text there. And it was just about itchy skin, psychogenic itching. And that video got a lot of attention. And when the more views that a video gets and the more comments, the more diligent I have to be to go through and check the comments, because sometimes people will come and they would have just come off of Google, or they don't understand anxiety. They don't realize that I'm sharing from a place of anxiety only, and I'm not sharing medical conditions. And they'll come and leave really scary comments that freaked people out. I was on TikTok. So when I'm on TikTok, like say I'm just deciding I want to scroll through TikTok and watch some funny videos because I have a really good algorithm going right now. So sometimes I'll go in there and it's very relaxing for me. But my notifications, and I'm sure there's a way to turn this off, right? Now that I'm saying this. But while I'm in the app, I mean, my notifications are popping up the whole time. If someone's leaving a comment, if someone's sharing a video. And while I was scrolling, watching videos, I saw a comment pop up from this girl, and from this woman, and she had been responding to people, telling them basically that based on their symptoms, they have the C word. And I was like, what on earth? So I had to catch that and delete these comments, because this is an anxiety page. It's not a medical page. And things like that are so frustrating for me, because people are just not mindful at all. It's like, hello. You do realize that you're triggering people. So anyway, I caught her comments, and I caught them really quickly, so I don't think anybody saw. But it's that kind of thing that's frustrating, and that kind of thing that I think has actually been triggering me without me even realizing it, because maybe other people don't see the comments, but then I see the comments. And if I've just shared a video where I'm dealing with a specific symptom, in this case, the itching and the tingling and the uncomfortable skin sensations, and she's coming and saying, oh, these symptoms are definitely all the symptoms of this specific C word. It's like, oh, well, isn't that lovely? I'm going through a vulnerable period and someone is just completely not mindful and they're just throwing this at me. And I see that, and then like my brain starts to fixate on that, because that's what health anxiety does. So even though I knew logically that my health anxiety is causing me to spiral just based on what I saw, because I have been kind of vulnerable lately with anxiety and dealing with a lot of symptoms, I struggled with worrying about that for a couple days. So that was just wonderful. Thank you to that woman. But seriously though, I really do get frustrated when people don't think, and they're not even doing it in, like, I don't think you should ever do that, but they're not even doing it in a nice way. They're like, this is definitely this and this and this. I'd be worried, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, hold on. There's some things that frustrate me so much, but I try to just breathe and stay calm. Some people online can be really annoying and really rude, but that's a whole different story. So that was another trigger for me, is the itchy skin, and then just social media in general, and just seeing certain things. And for me, it's honestly been certain comments from just random people coming on and just not thinking or not acknowledging that it's an anxiety space. So that's been another trigger. So really be mindful of how much time you spend online, and try and not feed into any videos that pop up or any things that you see, because remember, a lot of these people sharing are not doctors. And it's like Google, you know, we trust Google to be a doctor, but Google's not a doctor. It's just going to throw scary things at us. And then our health anxiety is going to fixate on anything that we see. So I told you guys that I'm going to talk about some symptoms that I've been dealing with, and I've been mentioning them throughout this episode. The itchy skin, the dizziness, the fatigue, the tummy issues, and just I feel like when your tummy is upset, it just affects everything. Do you agree with that? Where it just kind of throws you off, because when your tummy is upset, when your gut is just off and your digestive system is having some troubles, it can make you tired. It can make you lack energy, and you don't feel well overall. So really paying attention to your gut health is really important as well. You could get a probiotic, or just start adding more probiotic foods to your diet. I like to have a lot of fermented foods, and I actually have these little probiotic sachets that I'm going to start taking today. I just remembered that I have them. And that's another thing, like, health anxiety makes you scared to try new things, and I'm still that way sometimes. I was taking a probiotic that you keep in the fridge in just little capsules, and I need to go stock up on that one again, but I have these little sachets that are supposed to be really good. But you put them in water, and I'm just like, ooh. But anyway, I'm actually going to take one today, because I need to definitely add some more probiotics to my gut. It's just not happy right now. Stress hormones can really affect your gut, and probiotics can be really, really helpful. So I've spoken about these things, and then I just wanted to mention a few other symptoms that I've been having, because I did say I'm going to try to list them out in this episode. So another thing that I've been dealing with is heart palpitations. As I'm talking to you right now, I'm having them. My heart has just been racing a lot, That's always the one of the first things for me when I'm starting to deal with anxiety, like my heart is going to be racing. I just know it. And the minute you feel that, every other symptom feels more intense. So I've been dealing with that and my heart's been palpitating, which is really uncomfortable. And then as the cycle goes, you feel your stomach start to tense up when you're experiencing a symptom that doesn't feel comfortable. In this case, the heart palpitations. I've had them a million times before and I still get them sometimes, especially when I'm hormonal. But because of where I'm at right now mentally the past 2 weeks and fixating on everything, I'm finding myself tense up the minute I experience a symptom that feels uncomfortable. So with the heart palpitations today, I'm feeling my stomach in a knot, and then I have to consciously release my stomach muscles because otherwise it's just going to become a whole cycle where I'm tensing up my stomach because I'm anxious about my heart palpitations, but then I'm going to be worried soon enough because my stomach's going to be unhappy because I've been tensing up my stomach muscles. It's so annoying. So here is a tip that I really think can help you, and it's a reminder for me as well, is to, before every meal, is to take a few deep breaths. Because when we're anxious, our stomach, I don't know about you, but I hold a lot of tension in my stomach. And even if that's not an area where you tend to hold tension, when we're anxious, we do just naturally tend to hold tension in our gut, and stress hormones can actually enter your digestive tract and then cause a whole bunch of tummy issues. So before every meal, it's so important to release your muscles, because if your muscles are tight, then even when you're not eating, your digestive system is just not functioning properly. But now if you're eating with your stomach muscles clenched up, it's going to put even more strain and it's going to cause your tummy to just feel horrible. So even if you're eating your food and you still feel like there's tension there, as long as you've taken a few deep breaths before and released some of it, it can definitely make a difference. I told you we're going to be jumping all over the place where I'm listing out symptoms, but then I'm also mentioning some triggers. Again, I have everything listed in my book, and I will keep mentioning it because it's hard for me to look, like, I can't list out every single thing here. Everything is in that book in a lot more detail. So another trigger for me and for a lot of people is obviously what you eat. And I've been having dairy. I've had some dairy lately. Some that I didn't realize, like with the cookies that I had, and then some that I did realize, like with pizza that I had, because I love pizza and I do allow myself pizza sometimes. It doesn't cause the same type of symptoms that gluten causes. But if I have too much dairy, I mean, too much of anything, right? But if I have too much dairy, it causes a lot of mucus for me. And then, I mean, once you have a lot of mucus, and then that spirals into this and that, and then you get congested, and then you're fatigued. And then if you're going through health anxiety, it's fixating on the symptoms. And then your anxiety is increasing inflammation, and that's causing more mucus. And it's all just feeding into each other. So I had a lot of dairy recently, and I do have a lot of mucus and things going on, congestion. And then that's another trigger, because then that makes me very tired. It makes me feel very run down. And whenever I feel like I don't have energy or I feel really run down, that's a trigger for me. Well, now it is anyway, just the past few weeks, the way that I've been feeling. And when I have a lot of congestion going on, it can make me feel short of breath, but then anxiety on its own can make me feel short of breath. So just recently I was trying to fall asleep, and it was so annoying, because I'd felt fine. I'd been reading my book, I felt fine, and then I was trying to sleep, and now that I'm like laying in bed with nothing to distract me, that's when the symptom decided to come up, and I suddenly felt so short of breath. This is a symptom I've had since I was like 6 years old. You'd think I'd be used to it by now, but it still scares me. I mean, who wouldn't be afraid if it feels like you're not breathing properly? And then if you have other symptoms too, like if you're dizzy and short of breath, then you start to think, well, maybe I'm not getting enough oxygen to my brain. And you know how it goes. You know how it goes. So I was just laying in bed trying to fall asleep and feeling very short of breath. I had a lot of mucus and stuff. And I was congested, but I was also anxious, and then that was feeding into it. And I kept sitting up. That's something that I like will always sit up to try to breathe. And it's common when you have shortness of breath with anxiety, is your body will naturally want to yawn. It's your body's way of trying to encourage deeper breathing, because when we're short of breath, we're usually taking in very shallow air. And so it feels like we're not getting enough air. We are, but it's that feeling. It's a very uncomfortable feeling when it feels like you're not getting a deep breath. So I kept sitting up and trying to get a full breath. And what was frustrating was it felt like it wasn't working. So I'd be yawning and like trying to gasp for air, and it felt like it wasn't working. And I was trying so hard to not panic. And then I would get a full breath and it would be like, okay, like I have to try to quickly fall asleep now while it feels like I'm breathing. Because the thing is, the minute you're sleeping, like your breathing regulates and it's fine, because I would wake up in the morning and it would be gone until I start thinking about it, or until I'm awake for a certain amount of time, and then it will come back again. So I would tell myself, I have to quickly try to fall asleep while it feels like I've gotten a full deep breath. And then if I'm not asleep before the next wave comes, whatever you want to call it, where it feels like I have to do that whole cycle again to get a deep breath. And you'll only understand this if you've dealt with this as a symptom. Otherwise, you may be quite confused. But that's what happened. And then I had to do that multiple times. It got so bad at one point that I got out of bed and I walked around a little bit, and I actually went to the mirror and checked my face because it felt like I wasn't breathing. It's a thing that I used to do. This is what I'm telling you. It's like I've stepped into the old version of myself recently. I used to check my face in the mirror all the time to see if my lips were blue. I had a lot of fears about having a stroke, so I would check my face in the mirror to see if it was drooping, because I'd get tingling. That's been another symptom for me recently. And then eventually I felt like I got a full deep breath and I was able to fall asleep and was very grateful. I've also been getting some muscle twitching. I have a whole separate episode. My latest episode before this one is going deep into muscle twitching and ALS fears due to that. So if that's a big symptom for you, really go check that out. And I also have a blog post if you'd prefer to read. Sometimes it's nice to have options to read and listen. But muscle twitching is something that does not worry me anymore. But the other night, I'm telling you, this is because I'm in a spiral right now, so I'm just fixated on everything, things that I wouldn't normally worry about. But the other night, I started to get really bad twitching, what felt like it was in my ribs and in my stomach. And if I get really intense twitching in my stomach or in my ribs or in my chest, that still causes anxiety for me. In my neck as well, I just don't like it. It's just not a nice feeling. And my brain starts to try to come up with all the things that it could be. So it's crazy how our brain does that. It's like suddenly our brain thinks it's a doctor and it's like, oh my God, it's this and it's this and it's this. And it's like, please, would you be quiet? But so yeah, that was another thing that I had recently that I was worried about. I remember like I was having lunch the other day. Or was it dinner? I was having lunch, I think. And I felt this intense twitching in the side of my stomach. And I've had this before. I can't even tell you how many times I've had this before. And I never worry about twitches anymore, but suddenly this day I was starting to worry about it and I was fixated on it. And then suddenly I had a pain, what felt like it was in the front of my neck, and I was like, oh my God. And then my brain was trying to link up the two, and it's exhausting, isn't it? So this episode's pretty long already and I'm actually getting really hungry. I didn't realize how hungry I am. I did have breakfast, but it's already pretty late. So I'm going to wrap this up soon. I just realized though that I had mentioned green tea in this episode, and I don't think I've spoken to you about that situation. So recently I decided that I'm going to start having a cup of green tea a day. I have this box of green tea and it's very good quality green tea. Cause I know people say, don't just buy any green tea, make sure it's organic. Otherwise it can cause symptoms. So I have this box of green tea that's just been sitting here. And I just decided, why am I not drinking it? I'm gonna start drinking a cup of green tea a day. It's so good for you. And the trick is to not brew it too long. Like, don't leave the bag in, because if it's too strong, it can upset your stomach and whatever, or it can just taste really icky. So I was really enjoying it, actually. It tastes pretty good. I would brew it for like 2 to 3 minutes. And then one day I had my green tea and I was sitting with myself, and I was like, this was a few days ago, and I was like thinking to myself, my stomach has been affecting me recently every single day, like especially in the afternoons. And I was thinking, why? Like, why is my stomach upset every afternoon? What am I doing differently? And I really sat with myself, and it took me a while because I was trying to think of unhealthy things that I was doing. So I wasn't thinking about anything healthy that I was doing. And I couldn't, there was nothing. And then I thought, well, what is anything different that I'm doing? And green tea came up, and I thought, my stomach seems to be unsettled after I have green tea. And green tea does have caffeine in it, and I have always been very sensitive to caffeine, but for some reason I just told myself, no, it's fine. And thinking back, I have actually had reactions to green tea before, but I think I had thought it was because I just left the bag in and it was too strong, or I don't know, I had some excuse for it. So then I did some research into green tea specifically and how it can affect your stomach. And they say that in some people it does cause a lot of tummy issues, especially if you're sensitive to caffeine. There's not as much caffeine in green tea as coffee, but any caffeine can affect you if you're sensitive, any amount of it. So that was really interesting. And then I also learned that you should never have green tea on an empty stomach. And this is something that I feel like I already know, but for some reason I was just having it on an empty stomach always. So I'm not fully dismissing green tea, and I don't want to tell you this to put you off it if it's something that you've been wanting to try, because it has so many incredible benefits for you. But I will say, don't ever have it on an empty stomach. Have it with a meal or right after a meal. Don't brew it too long, and just pay attention. Just listen to your body, because we're all different. Some people drink green tea. Most people, in fact, can have green tea with no issues. But some of us are sensitive, so just because something is healthy doesn't mean that it can't affect you. It just depends on the person. So I was having green tea for more than a week every single day, and I was having some tummy issues, but I wasn't putting it together because I just didn't even think it was green tea, because I figured, oh, well, green tea is really healthy. So I just completely skipped over it, didn't even think, until I started to sit with myself, and I was like, what have you been doing differently lately that your stomach's upset every single day and at a specific time? And so I've stopped drinking it now. I want to try it with food, but I'm too scared to do it right now. I will, when I'm feeling better and I'm out of this little cycle that I'm in, I will definitely try it again with food. I'm not going to just dismiss it completely, but I've stopped drinking it now, but my stomach is still unsettled. So that's another thing that I've been thinking, like, I would actually love to know your guys' thoughts. If any of you have experienced this, let me know. Send me a DM. Hopefully I'll see it. But it's just, I don't know. Ever since I've stopped drinking it, my stomach is still upset. So I'm thinking, like, is it caffeine withdrawal? But I was only having one cup a day. But then I guess if you've been having it every day, and if you're very sensitive to caffeine, and then obviously caffeine and withdrawal can increase anxiety. So I'm thinking, is that it? Is it caffeine withdrawal that's been doing this? Because it is since then. But I've told myself no, because I wasn't having multiple cups a day. I only had it for just a little over a week or two. But now that I'm saying this out loud, I'm like, It's 3:33 p.m. right now. And of course I'm going to mention that because I'm obsessed with angel numbers. Anyway, that was strange, but I couldn't help but notice that it's 3:33 and I haven't had lunch yet and I'm hungry. So, and this is another thing that I want to say. Whenever my stomach is upset, all I want to eat is cheese on toast. Like, that's all I want. And isn't it funny, because cheese affects me, so I can't have cheese. I get goat cheese sometimes. I have goat cheese right now. I'm probably going to go have it for lunch. It's just, if you're lactose intolerant, it's better on your digestive system than just regular cow's milk cheese. But I do still, if I eat too much of it, I still get symptoms because I'm clearly very sensitive. So just be really mindful of how your body responds to certain foods, because honestly, you're just being sensitive to foods and then eating those foods consistently can really take a toll on your anxiety and can actually intensify and contribute to symptoms. So I'm probably going to end this off here. I feel like it was a little bit all over the place. There's definitely more stuff that I could share with you guys, but I have been doing a lot of health anxiety episodes lately, and I will continue to do them. I'm sure I'll do another one soon when I'm out of this cycle, and I'll share some more things that have been helping me. But really, I just go back to everything that I've done before, and it's all in my latest book for you. And then in my A to Z, of course, it allows you to just look up any symptom to keep you off of Google, because that's one of the biggest things. If somebody was like, what is one bit of advice you can give to someone with health anxiety? It would be to not Google, to pretend that you don't have access to the internet, honestly, because it does not help. Every single time you Google something, you just set yourself back, and then you set yourself back again and again until you just feel like you're stuck and you're never going to get out of it. So that's probably the number one thing, is do not Google. Put your phone far away from you, turn your phone off, put it just in another room if you have to, and then keep yourself occupied with something else, anything else. I know that it feels so wrong to not be looking up what you need to. It's like, I need to look this up, I need to know, because that's how our brains work. Our brains, if something doesn't make sense to us, our brains have to make sense of it. Our brains will not stop until it's like, okay, I have my answers. But sometimes we're just not going to get the answers. Like with anxiety, you have so many different symptoms. They're just jumping around. It's one thing to the next, that if you give into it and you like, okay, well, I'm going to do all the research that I can into this one symptom, then by the time you do find reassurance, it's on to the next thing. So it's never ending. I encourage you to just really try to distract yourself, like with healthy distractions, things that make you feel good. Like, what do you love to do? I love reading. I love listening to music. Sometimes when I'm really struggling, I can't concentrate on words on a page, and then I will put my earphones on and I'll put music on and I'll turn it up so loud and I'll just allow it to help me get out of my head. I have a playlist on Spotify that I shared on Instagram, that I've named Therapy, because it just helps me get out of my head. So that's my advice for you this weekend. That's what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading this weekend. I've been reading so much. I set a goal for myself to read. I don't know if you heard my stomach, because my stomach is growling so loudly right now. I set a goal for myself on Goodreads to read 65 books. And I'm like 3 books ahead of schedule right now, I think. Which is crazy, because I don't think I ever make it to 40 books. Or the most I've read is like 45 books or something. So I just decided this year, I'm like, I'm going to set a goal for 65 books and I'm going to freaking do it. And books have been my escape, have always been my escape since I was little. Books and music. And I've just been reading. Like, I've been reading so much. If you have Goodreads, you can follow me on there and you can see all the books that I've been reading and the ratings. I don't leave written reviews. I always just give it however many stars, but maybe I should start leaving written reviews, because it is helpful to do that. But yeah, if you have Goodreads, follow me. I don't actually know how would you find me on there? Just don't mind me for a second while I pull up my phone. And of course it's going to take long to load right now. It never takes long to load. How do you see, just Tamarin, I guess? Just search Tamarin? Anyway, I'll try to see if I can leave the link in the description, but I always upload all the books that I read on there, and yes, that's all I have to say. Of course, you could also read my books this weekend, if you're in a really bad spiral. I honestly come onto my own page. Like, I go into our community and I read through comments on certain posts with specific symptoms when I'm dealing with them myself, and because I find it so helpful. So my books may help you this weekend if you're in a really bad spiral. People always ask me, which book do you recommend the most? But they all kind of work together. So my very first book is my anxiety story. It's my journey. It's me walking you through my worst days with GAD, health anxiety, panic disorder. I share a lot of stories where I had panic attacks at work and at different places, and how I felt and all the symptoms. And I talk about my meds experience, because I was actually on medication for a year right at the beginning before I knew anything about anxiety. And then everything that I started to learn is in the first book, and everything that helped me to finally get out of just this place where I felt stuck. And then I wrote my A to Z because so many people were, I was realizing how many people were going to Google, and I thought about my own story and how I would go to Google for everything and how it never ended well. But how with health anxiety, we just want to have a place where we can look something up. So that's why I wrote the A to Z, because you can look up anything in there, any symptom, any trigger, supplements, adaptogens, pep talks, like rambles. There's everything in that book. I wanted a book with everything. The ebook is over 600 pages and it's delivered to you instantly. And it's very easy to look up something quickly as you need to. So that's the A to Z. So you can see how already the first and second book go together, because they're very different. The A to Z is just if you need to quickly look up a symptom. And then my first book is learning about my whole story, and I go deep into inflammation and diet and all of that kind of stuff. And then my latest book I wrote because people were asking me, can you talk more about health anxiety specifically? Because in my first book, I do talk about health anxiety and all the symptoms, but I feel like it's more focused around generalized anxiety disorder and panic disorder. So I wanted to write a book that was just health anxiety based. All of my health anxiety experiences and stories and obsessions and spirals and everything that helps me specifically with health anxiety. Thank you as always for staying until the end, if you're still here right now, and for being here with me, because it really does mean a lot to me. I've been struggling lately, and at parts I've had to pause this a few times, because when I talk about certain things, I just feel like I've been wanting to cry. And whenever I'm feeling a certain way, I always just think about how many other people are feeling that too. And when I'm sitting here feeling emotional because I've been feeling really anxious and I just haven't been feeling like myself, and then I think about how many of you guys are feeling the same way, and it makes me sad and it hurts my heart. And I hope that listening to this episode has brought some comfort if you're in a spiral, because I always say the same thing. I always repeat the same things over and over. But it's true, like when we hear about someone else going through something that we're going through, it can immediately bring some level of comfort. Even if it's not the full comfort that we're desperate for, just having that little bit of comfort and validation and knowing that we're not alone, I think that's important. That can really help a lot. So be gentle with yourself this weekend, okay? Just be gentle with yourself every single day and allow yourself to feel what you feel. Just no resistance. Just let surrender be your word. Just let yourself feel it. Just if you need to cry, cry. If you need to scream, scream. Do what you need to, but, you know, just get it out. I'm sending you the biggest hug. I'm sending you so much love, and I'll talk to you soon.